Good morning. I asked for that cowbell. I love me some cowbell. Is Chloe Moody in the room or is she downstairs? There, she's out there. You left the vacuum cleaner up on the stage. No, she didn't. That was Doug Grove's fault. Now, Doug Grove used to be our custodian here. He used to use this a lot. This is the first time I've touched a vacuum in a while. My wife just gave a testimony that was true. So Doug would be vacuuming. Maybe a classroom, maybe a hallway. And suddenly, this plug would pop out of the wall for no reason. And then he'd start to walk back. And it would suddenly get plugged back in. And I have no idea how that happened. Doug, do you know how that happened? No idea. We have no idea how that happened.
God works in mysterious ways.
He does work in mysterious ways. But you know what, Doug? It stopped as soon as you retired. I have no... Chloe's never had that problem. Not sure why. But you know, the vacuum cleaner needs power to run. It has to be plugged in, or it doesn't run. And as Christians, we also need power to live the Christian life. We cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. We will fail. It's impossible. We need help. We need the power of God to be able to live godly, to live holy, to be a Christian. Now, this is the end of our summer series. Pastor Chris will be back next week on our final message on the Holy Spirit, and that is who God has provided. God empowers us through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to moot idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. In everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And down in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Gifts, service, activities, all empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. That's very important. So when we're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're being empowered by a person. We are being empowered by God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. We first see the Holy Spirit at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we see the Holy Spirit as part of the creation. The Holy Spirit also empowered men and women in the Old Testament to bring about God's will. Exodus chapter 31. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in the cutting of stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with them Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. Intelligence, knowledge, craftsmanship. This art is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in Numbers 27, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. And so we see the Holy Spirit giving leadership. And then the judges, then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house. When he came to Leah, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And so we see just the strength of Samson, but he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then we see 1 Samuel chapter 16. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him being David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So we see God empowering the people of God. And although the Spirit did not permanently indwell God's people in the Old Testament, he worked through them and gave them power to achieve things they could not have been able to accomplish on their own. So God empowered kings and prophets and judges and craftsmen, artisans, to do his will. The empowering by the Holy Spirit was not to be for personal use, but for carrying out the work of God intended and called them to do. And the same is true today. Moving to the New Testament, during his earthly ministry, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. Or Matthew chapter 12, then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him. So the man spoke and saw. And the people were amazed. But the Pharisees didn't like him, like this. And so they accused Jesus of being filled with Beelzebub. But Jesus says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Continuing in the New Testament, Jesus promised the Spirit as a guide, a teacher, a seal of salvation, a comforter for believers. In John chapter 14, we see, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus also promised that the Holy Spirit's power would help his followers to spread the message of the gospel around the world. But if you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the salvation of souls is a supernatural work only made possible by the Holy Spirit's power at work in believers. The church was born and empowered when the Holy Spirit descended upon believers. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so we had these disciples, and they spoke to the crowds gathered in Jerusalem for this feast. And these people hailed from all these different nations, and they spoke all these different languages. And suddenly, to their surprise and wonder, the disciples are starting to speak to them in their own language. Now, the disciples couldn't do this in their own power. There was no way, but it was the Holy Spirit's power was made manifest. And 3,000 people were saved that day. The Spirit equipped the apostles to perform miracles in Acts chapter 2. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him. He spoke to him, as did John. And he said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Tabitha, who was a really good person. She did good works, acts of charity, but she passed away. And when the disciples, they heard about this, they heard that Peter was there, they said, "Please come without delay." And so Peter went. Peter put everyone outside, and he knelt down, and he prayed. He said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up, and then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The Holy Spirit equipped and empowered the apostles to perform these miracles. But it's not just the apostles. The power of the Holy Spirit was manifest among all the believers of the early church through the giving of spiritual gifts, as we read earlier in the passage from 1 Corinthians. So, in the Old Testament, we see the Spirit empowering men and women to do God's will with intelligence, knowledge, craftsmanship, leadership, strength, heroics. As prophets, in the New Testament, we see the church born. We see the Holy Spirit empowering the believers, guidance to teach, to comfort, perform miracles, to spread the gospel, to have faith, to do prophecy, and many other gifts of the Spirit. Also, all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ are immediately and permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit if you are saved. And the Holy Spirit will work in and through us to accomplish His will. He'll convict us. He'll teach us. He'll equip us to do His work, to spread His gospel. The Holy Spirit is just as powerful today as He was when the apostles were here. God still empowers His people today through the Holy Spirit. God has called us for a purpose. God has called you for a purpose. And He will equip you for that purpose. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And what God has called you to do, He will equip you to do. Philippians chapter 2, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So God calls us to do good works, and He gives us the spiritual power and the divine authority needed to carry out the work that He has called us to do. This power is not something that we can harness. We cannot try to get this power in order to use God for our own purposes. Again, this power is not a thing. It is a person. It is the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is not just for preachers. It's not just for evangelists or people who work in special ministry. It's available to every believer, because we have all been called to good works. And we can experience this power when we willingly surrender moment by moment in submission and obedience to God. When we walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means being obedient to God. And then God will release His power in our lives, and then we can surrender and we can be used by Him. So what are some ways that we can see this power? Well, one is through witnessing. Scripture always refers to the power of the Holy Spirit in relationship to witnessing and glorifying God. It is His power through us that emboldens us and helps us to carry out that work. We can see the Holy Spirit working in us through the work we are called to do. Zechariah chapter 4. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." Not by our might, not by power, can we accomplish anything. It's by the Holy Spirit. Any work that you do is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our whole lives should be empowered by the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Your work time, your worship time, your play time, everything should be for the glory of God and empowered by His Spirit. One other way that I'll share today of how the Holy Spirit's power is manifested in us is through the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We cannot do any of these without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. God's power, and only God's power, can enable us to do these things, to show love, to have joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because that's the character of Christ. And it's only through the Spirit that we can have the character of Christ in us. And so we experience the Holy Spirit's manifestation and power in our life through at least these three things: through witnessing, through our work we are called to do, and through the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we must have a personal relationship with God through faith in Christ. That's the first step, the most important step. Then at the time of salvation, whether it was 40 years ago, whether it's today, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and His empowerment. But to see the Spirit working in our lives, we need to be following Jesus. We need to be surrendering our lives and be obedient. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless indiscretion. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit is to be walking in obedience. So what is obedience? Well, it is not a list of rules. It is not a list of rules. It is not legalism, but it's a surrendering, an attitude of seeking God. Life Action Ministries, which is a revival ministry, they like to say that obedience is doing what God says, when He says to do it, with the right heart attitude. So, what is God calling you to do? Because as we have seen from Scripture, what God calls you to do, He will equip you to do. The Holy Spirit will empower you to accomplish. So what is God calling you to do today? Is it to make a visit? Is it to have a tough conversation with someone? Is there a neighbor that you need to share the gospel with? If you know what you are called to do, then you need to do it. And if you're not sure what you need to do, then you need to spend time in prayer and in reading His Word until you know what it is God is calling you to do. Because God is calling every one of you to do something. So what is God calling you to do today? Because you have a task to do. And you need to do it. Do not be like Jonah and run away from God and what He's calling you to do. Procrastination is not a godly trait. In fact, it can be sin. Procrastination is the act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. Doing what God says when He says to do it. So if you're procrastinating, you're in sin. If God is calling you to do something. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level pathway. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. We are called to work with all our heart as if working for the Lord. And so we need to put our hearts into it. We must not procrastinate. And Scripture is very clear that there are some things that we can never delay in doing. If we need to reconcile with someone, Jesus said, settle matters quickly with their adversaries. And if we are angry, we are told to do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Also, Christians must not procrastinate when it comes to sharing the gospel with the lost. There is no time to waste. In the story of the banquet in the Gospel of Luke, a parable about inviting people to Christ, the master tells his servants to go out quickly. It's an urgent call with urgent speed. For those of you who have not yet come to Christ, do not delay. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Procrastination is as if you are rebelling against God. So in the matter of our spiritual life, we dare not procrastinate. Obedience is doing what God tells us to do and when he tells us to do it. Obedience is also doing what God tells you to do and doing it with a right heart attitude. This is probably the hardest one. Remember Jonah? He was called to do something. He kind of procrastinated. And God said, no, 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 no. Brought a whale, brought a fish, swallowed him up, spit him out, told him go. Talk about going begrudgingly. And after he shared the message, the Ninevites repented. They listened. But Jonah saw that God spared this country after his preaching. And you know what his reaction was? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He did not have the right heart attitude, did he? It is not enough to just do what God tells us to do, but we need to do it with a good and right heart. And that may mean that we need to humble ourselves and repent and to call upon God to empower us with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, God has called all of us as believers, and he has a purpose for us, a task to do, and the Holy Spirit is our empower to do those tasks. Again, this power is not for personal use, but for witnessing to others and for the work that God has called us to do. God not only calls us to this, but he also empowers us to do it. And to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, we need to be humble and obedient to surrender our lives. Again, obedience is doing what God says, when he says to do it, and with a right heart attitude. And if we have that, then we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to do what God has called us to do. So let us be an obedient people, a people that is empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for leaving your Spirit here to be with us, to indwell us, to empower us to do your will. Father, may we be found faithful. May the fruit of the Spirit be so evident in our lives. Father, we ask that you would fill us continually. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.